I am so thankful for Jesus today. Thankful that He is our salvation. I count it a privilege to be able to read from the Word of the Lord this morning. And I want to value it as such, the Word of the Lord. I don't want to take it for granted. As our Sunday school lesson this morning brought out, I don't want to hear the call of God, hear the word of the Lord, and be careless with what I've heard, but I want to value it as the word of the Lord. Have a question I'd like to consider here in the beginning. And that is, does a normal, common, or pleasing spirit make it a right spirit? Does a normal, common, or pleasing spirit make it a right spirit? I think we probably all know the answer to that question, but I'd like to think about that subject for a little while this morning. Maybe write the subject on the boards. I've written on the board, try the Spirit. And there's a verse that speaks about trying the Spirit that I'd like to read. And that is in 1 John, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. And we'll read just that verse. It says, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world." I want to read it again. You might have been getting that in your Bible. I want you to get a hold of the verse because this is the text this morning. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Available evidence indicates that John the Apostle not only was the author of the gospel that bears his name, but he was also the author of these three epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. This was a man who walked with Jesus. John was acquainted with what the Spirit of God looked like. Because he walked with Jesus Christ. This is the man that is writing this in his epistle. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Don't believe every one of them, but try it to see if it's of God. Because there's a lot of false prophets out there. Not all the spirits that are out there are of God. And so, John, the author, wrote the Gospel of John. He wrote the three epistles. He was acquainted with what the Spirit of Christ looked like. And he was also acquainted with what the Spirit that was not of God looked like. He was acquainted with seeing both spirits. And he felt that it was of critical importance to write in this epistle to warn and to exhort that we should not believe every spirit, every influence that comes our way. That we would not immediately just accept it, digest it, ingest it, believe it, allow it to be part of us and accept it as right. But he said, try it. And he thought it was of critical importance to write that in this epistle. God in heaven thought it was important enough that 2,000 plus years later, that we too would receive the exhortation that we also should not believe every spirit, but that we would try the spirits, try the influences, understand the leanings that we feel towards something, those things that draw us, that pull us, that are presented to us, that have influence in the way that people make decisions in life and then follow after those things. That's what it's talking about when it says, believe not every spirit. Every inclination that comes into your heart, into your mind, the things that you're going along and all of a sudden you feel pulled one way or another. Don't just accept it as right immediately, but try it. Why? Because there are many false prophets that are out in the world. There are many false influences, influences that are not based on truth, that are disguised as right. Do most prophets proclaim themselves to be false prophets? Have you ever met a prophet that says, I'm a prophet, but I'm a false prophet? I want to bring to you truth, but it's not really truth. Have you ever run into that? Well, I haven't. A prophet is supposed to mean it has a good connotation to it. It means there's something positive that's getting ready to be said because he's a prophet. But this said he was a false prophet. And so the caution that we should feel then is that there are influences in the world that would appear to be a good influence. There are inclinations that would appear on the surface to be a good and right inclination to follow. There are spirits, you know, where you feel drawn to something. And it can happen within the walls of churches, church buildings. That's where prophets sometimes go, is a church building, and they can deliver something that moves and works on our emotions and our feelings. It can cause people to cry. It can cause people to have whatever feelings they want to bring out. Feelings of happiness. Emotions that are high and emotions that are low. There are people that are adept at having a plan before they walk through the back door of getting your emotions low, bringing them high, and leaving you with wherever it is they want to leave you. Musicians that are really good know how to do that, and they have a plan. Think, well, that's spontaneous. All of a sudden we were moved, and people are crying, and there must be something special. It was the design from the very beginning that's what was going to happen. False prophets, false influences, things that feel and seem to be right that aren't right. And so John and God felt that it was important enough for us to get a hold of this verse. Beloved, I love you. I care about you. I don't want anything bad to happen to you in life. Be aware that you try the Spirit, that you don't believe everything that comes along, even though it might at first feel like the right thing to do. So with that as an introduction, I'd like to read several verses, and you don't need to turn to them. I don't normally read this many verses. I'm going to go through these short verses really quickly. And so just listen to them and absorb what four different authors are saying. Jeremiah 10 and 23, we quote this one often. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's not man giving himself the fruit or the result of what he thinks he earned, but God, who knows the heart, searches the heart, and tries the reins. Proverbs 16 and 25, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. It seems right. There's a way that it seems right unto man. But the end thereof are what? The ways of life? Or the ways of death? Daniel 12 and 10, many shall be purified and made white and tried. But listen, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. There is lots that could be said about all of those verses. There's actually a lot of deep things in those verses, and that's not the intent this morning. The intent is, do those verses get your attention? They do mine. They get my attention. These verses are sobering to me when I listen to the fact that there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the ways, they end up in death. And it's not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. And those that do wickedly, they don't understand, and they're going to continue to do wickedly. And there's people in the world whose their eyes have been blinded. They think that all is okay, but it's not okay. and I feel a pause in my spirit this morning because I am not exempt from this. I am not exempt from being in a place where I'm blind to the way that I'm taking. Where I can be blind to the way that I should take. Where I have spiritual blindness that is present in my life. I'm a man. And the scriptures say that because of that, if that's all that I have on hand is my own mind and no spiritual power or understanding from on high, then if that is left to take its course, I'm going to end up in the wrong place. And so I feel a caution in me because of that. But here's the thing, we don't have to be blind. We don't have to be blind in those areas that would cause us to end up in a bad place. Yes, there are times in life that, many times in life, we're blind to ourselves, but it's not unto sin and unto death. God is a merciful God. He doesn't hold us accountable for the things that we are blind to, that we can't do anything about. We're accountable to those things that we are blind to that we should see. And we have something to say about many areas in life, whether we're going to be blind to it and not have an understanding of the right way to go, or whether we are going to have eyes that have been anointed by the eye salve of the Holy Spirit that we might be able to see. We have everything to say about that. And a key to that is understanding the value of, understanding the need of spending time, giving our attention, prioritizing the fact that we must needs try the Spirit and the influences that are leading us, and that includes my own self. One of the most difficult spirits to try and understand is our own spirit. You say, well, nobody knows me better than myself. Sometimes other people know you better than you do. It's one of the most difficult spirits to understand without the help of the Holy Spirit. Because we are so apt to justify our own way. Many reasons to justify, we find. We're never usually at a lack of justification for the path that we're taking. With this in mind, I'd like to consider spirits we should identify as needing to embrace and protect, and spirits that we should identify as not of God. I'd like to turn to the 13th chapter of Matthew now. And read in the third, this is a parable, and I'm not going to read the whole thing because we don't have time. In fact, I'm probably not going to get through this message this morning. We'll get as far as we can. The 13th chapter of Matthew is the parable of the sower. And I want to notice the very first thing. The very first thing that Jesus said in this parable, Matthew 13:3 says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow seed. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." And I want to focus on that. Now we're going to fast forward to where he begins to explain the parable. So now let's fast forward to verse 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. That is he which received seed by the wayside." And that's what we read in the very beginning. Some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. And Jesus said, this is like when seeds are sown, and somebody that is by those seeds don't understand and get a hold of what those seeds are all about. And it said that the wicked one cometh along and grabs those seeds and takes them away. There's two spirits that are at work here. There is a spirit of God that comes and sows good seed that He wants us to receive. He wants us to recognize it as seed that is for us. He wouldn't sow it if we didn't need it. Folks, we have need in our lives today. You have needs in your life. I have spiritual need in my life. Therefore, because I have need in my life, God is going to bring things to me through the Word of God, through His Spirit, through the ministry, through faithful friends and loved ones, going to throw some seed in your path that represents something different than what is currently in your life. Because we're not where we need to be. We still have room to grow. And when that seed comes from the Lord, which has our best interest at heart, that is a good spirit. That is a spirit we want to get a hold of. But then there's another warring spirit that recognizes, oh, that's a seed that he needs. And so the spirit then of the wicked one comes in and tries to get that seed and take it away before it has the opportunity to settle in your heart, develop roots, and begin to influence the way that you live your life. Don't ever think that there is only one spirit. Don't ever think that there is not a wicked one, a spirit of the enemy that is at war, that is at variance, that has an intent to come in and put a roadblock in us getting to heaven and growing spiritually. The spirits are real. The influences are real. And Jesus Christ, once again, gave us a parable that helped us to understand, I'm going to put some good seed in your path, but beware. Just because you don't first understand it, or if you don't at first understand it, you don't get a hold of it. It's not part of who you are, which is the reason it was sown in the first place often. That there will be a warring spirit that will come and try to steal it away. If we let that happen every single time, we will meet God the same condition that we are today. And His expectations, and I want to say this in the fear of the Lord, His expectations of us change from day to day in that He wants us and has provided for us a way to grow in grace. He doesn't want us to stagnate. He wants us to understand more and more of who He is. What He expects of me today is not going to be what He expects of me if He spares life 5 years down the road. He wants me to have learned some things. But if I stay the same and every time seed comes my way that represents something different than what I am and I don't really understand it, and so I allow the wicked one to come in and take it, and so I just go along feeling comfortable with where I am today, it will not lead to a good place. And so Jesus Christ warns us about that. How many times does the Lord in His mercy sow seed within our reach? Come to camp meeting and the word of the Lord comes forth and we feel conviction. And we feel the Spirit of the Lord, but then because it's not consistent with the way that we would like to live our life, it represents a change that we don't want to take place in our life. It represents discomfort. It represents setting aside something that we don't want to set aside. Or it represents taking up something that we would rather not take up. Or maybe it's something that we listen to, and maybe it's not a path that we want to take. It's not the way that we want to go. It represents change that perhaps we don't want to embrace. It's not consistent with the path that we're on that we've grown comfortable with. And then on top of that, we really don't understand it very well, which is what the parable is talking about. Seed was sown. He just didn't really understand it completely. Things that we don't understand and that we don't like at face value, we'd like to get rid of that stuff. Don't we? And the enemy knows that. And when he sees an opportunity where we kind of back off, that's not the way I'm really going. We're feeling some conviction. We feel our conscience pricked. We're in a place where we recognize, well, maybe I'm at a fork in the road and maybe I'm supposed to be going right instead of left. But it looks, I don't really understand it very well. I don't understand why exactly the word of the Lord went forth like that. And it's different from what I'm comfortable with. We've all been there. Then what do we do with it? How many times does the enemy then rush in those situations to steal away the seed that has been sown? That it can then be out of sight, out of mind, conviction goes away, don't need to consider that anymore. We walk out the back doors, we push it to the side. The enemy gives us all kinds of reasons, and we give ourselves all kinds of reasons why it probably doesn't apply to us. Well, I don't really understand it. And the Lord, He's not the author of confusion, and it's really not what I really want in my life. And so we give ourselves reason to quickly back away. And the enemy is more than ready to oblige. He comes in and steals it away, and then it is gone. Have you ever noticed the brazen nature of fowls? Now, fowls means birds. So let's just talk about buzzards. I don't like buzzards very well. They're ugly. I don't like what they feed on, although, you know, in nature, God created them and they do a pretty good work. But I don't want a buzzard feeding on me. I don't want to be the one where the buzzard decides that I'm his food. And I don't want to have anything to do with a buzzard deciding that what is supposed to be my territory, the buzzard claims is his territory. Anybody want a buzzard claiming your territory? Not me. And the brazen nature of buzzards. How is it that you can be driving 70 miles an hour down the road, right, a 2-3-4 ton vehicle going 70 miles an hour right straight towards a buzzard that's feeding on something, and those crazy things don't want to get out of the way? Well, sometimes you get right on them, and they just barely get out of the way of your vehicle. One time they didn't get out of the way of my vehicle, and I hit him flat straight on and watched him fall in my rearview mirror. A lot of times, they just barely get away. And then you look in your rearview mirror, and you see them do a swoop, and back in they come. One time I passed one, and I was watching it, and that crazy thing never moved. And he just kind of tensed up. I'm not exaggerating, I watched him. He just kind of hunkered down just a little bit as I passed him going at a decent rate of speed in a car. Brazen buzzards. Because they do not want to give up what they've claimed as their food, as their territory. And the enemy this morning is just as brazen. He is just as persistent. He's a buzzard. The enemy is doing whatever he can to come into our territory that should be our territory. When the Lord puts out seed that's supposed to be good seed that we should get a hold of, and the enemy, like a buzzard, comes flying in, decides that's his territory, and wants to take it over and take it away. May God help us this morning to be quicker and more persistent than the wicked one, than the buzzard. When the Lord sends seed that convicts, that challenges, things that we don't understand a whole lot of, but there's something that still small voice that comes, and maybe we don't have a full understanding of it, that is your territory. We need to try that spirit. We need to see where that seed came from. We need to give it some attention to determine, is this for me? Is this from God? Before we quickly allow the enemy to come in and steal away territory that should be ours. We may say, well, I'm not really interested in that right now. And I want to say this to you. You may not be able to get by in life without it. You may not be interested right now. You may not have a full understanding of it. But when the word of the Lord comes forth, when His Spirit comes forth and lays seed in your path, He does it because we need it. He does it because He wants to save and He wants to protect and He wants to see you grow in your souls. He doesn't want to see you languish. He doesn't want to see you flatline in your spiritual life. And growth is hard. It's not easy to grow. There's growing pains that go with that. Change has to take place. And change most of the time is difficult. But if we're not careful, and we let the buzzard come in, when the convicting power of God comes, and it's with something, and maybe we don't understand all the ins and outs, but we feel touched, and our conscience is touched, and we feel convicted. And if we just allow the enemy to come in and steal it away, then we get to the place where we say, well, I just don't feel convicted anymore. Maybe that wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. I don't feel moved anymore. I don't feel convicted. And it was because we allowed the wicked one. Jesus is the one that gave the parable, not me. He gave the parable and he said the seed was sown. But there was some that, well, they didn't understand it all the way. But it was there for them to understand. And because there was nothing done to protect it, to understand it, to try the Spirit, to understand what the seed was, the wicked one came in and took the seed away. And then when that happens, we go forth, we say, well, I felt kind of bad about this yesterday or last week or last year, but I don't really feel bad about it anymore. I don't really feel convicted anymore. It's because the seed's gone. It's because you allowed the enemy to come in. You consciously, you intentionally, you allowed. Because you didn't claim that territory as yours to explore and try the Spirit. It's now been taken away. And so I don't feel convicted anymore. And that's the reason why people live their lives. They can watch things with their eyes. Young folks, middle age, older ones. We can listen to things with our ears. We can go to places. We can present ourselves to the world with our attire, putting on or not putting on. We can think about things. We can speak to other people in certain ways. And in all of these areas, not good, but not feel convicted. Not feel like we're doing anything wrong. People say, well, I don't feel anything wrong with it. Everything seems to be okay. I feel clear. And it's because at some point the seed was sown and you didn't embrace it. You didn't dig into it. You didn't try the Spirit. And so then the enemy came in and he stole it away. And it happens too often to too many people. There are spirits today. We allow some spirits to remain that we ought to be pushing away. And we push away spirits that ought to remain. This morning, I want to encourage each one that we be quicker and as persistent, more persistent than the enemy of our soul. To protect the territory that God gave us to protect. That when seed is sown our way, that we be willing, and maybe it's seed that's disagreeable to us. It looks like it's seed that would be difficult to swallow. That we would be careful. That we would remember the verse that we read. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the Spirit to see if it's of God or if it's of man. Because there are a lot of spirits in the world that are not of God, that we are influenced by. And as we mentioned early in the message, one of the spirits that is one of the most difficult to understand correctly, if we are not very, very careful, is our very own spirit. Well, we've run out of time. We'll come back to this. Our life's destiny this morning, our life's destiny is determined by the spirits and influences that we allow to take up residence in our lives. May we open our hearts to the Holy Spirit of God, to His Word, to have free reign, lots of space to move, and to teach us that when we encounter those things that we don't understand or that are disagreeable to us, that we remember that there are spirits that are at war and we want to end up on the side of God. I want to know what the Lord wants me to know. I want to walk the path that God wants me to walk. May the Lord give us understanding in these things. Pray for me because I want to be true. Amen.